Welcome to Nashville and Beyond.
I'm Brian Copeland.
And I'm Zach Copeland.
And we're a father-son duo helping people buy, sell, and thrive in Middle Tennessee.
But this isn't just about business. It's also about our family and our community.
It's a front row seat to how we live, work, and serve right here in Music City.
So buckle up as we explore Nashville and Beyond.
Awesome. We're rolling.
There's glitter all over the place.
Is there?
Yeah, I get glitter all over my place when I decorate. And
well, we decorated the church 3 days ago, 4 days ago.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of glitter involved in that.
It's like, I won't go to Hobby Lobby anymore. We used to have a friend that worked at Hobby Lobby, and he would come home just soaked
in
glitter. So it's just funny. But yeah. Anyway. Christmas.
It is. Today's Christmas, the one about Christmas. Onesies. You're wearing a Christmas onesie. That's right. I just got on a sweater you lent me. Thank you.
We're at Lendingham Mortgage, and I ran into Cassie Kennerson on the way in, and they're having a Christmas party this week. Mm-hmm. And she was like, will you please wear that? I'm like, yeah, I can't wear pajamas to the party. But
oh, that's at Topgolf, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be so much fun. I wonder if we're golfing. I love Topgolf.
It is so fun.
Well, I feel like Christmas brings out two versions of people.
Okay.
The joyful elf or the exhausted and disgruntled shopper? Which one do you think I am?
Well, that's just called Thursday in your life. It's weekly. It is. Not necessarily. Yeah. Totally the disgruntled elf. Yeah. I mean, you know that.
You're definitely the joyful elf.
I am.
But today's episode is the one about Christmas.
Yeah.
And thank you for celebrating Christmas here with us on Nashville and Beyond and tuning into the podcast on this chilly Tuesday. I hope it's chilly on this Tuesday.
Well, let's start with about the gifts. Let's start there. So let's start with the gifts that we'll never forget our entire life. So what's a meaningful gift that you've received?
Well, 1 year for Christmas, y'all got me a Le Creuset set of pots and pans and assorted accoutrements. And
still paying that one off.
Yeah. It was a lot of Le Creuset and heavy, big stuff too. So that's definitely one that I will never forget, and I'll have it hopefully the rest of my life because they're just great quality.
I enjoyed the first meal you cooked for us in it.
Oh, yeah. Chili.
No, we haven't got a meal yet from you in it.
Yeah.
Did you? Oh, shoot.
I did.
That was going to be a good slam.
No.
Shoot.
I made chili.
Doggone it.
Yep, I did.
The joke fell.
It did. Doggone it's okay. It.
So what is the most meaningful gift you've given then?
Oh, gosh. This is a tough one. Because I think, I think probably it's going to be for you, and it is one of two things. It's either the cameo that I got you from one of your favorite celebrities, Nina West, who is a world-renowned drag queen, and you're obsessed with Nina West, and you fell in love with her actually because not just the show, but you saw her emceeing an event, and you were like, wow, she's really, really good at that.
Yeah.
And so you just kind of became a lifelong fan. So I got you a cameo 1 year from Nina West. And then the other thing is also Drag Race related. I got you a lipstick from that had your name on it from when they, I think it was All Stars 10 or
Ben Delacrim pulled this whole, I'm out of here.
Yeah, yeah. So I got that for you. What about you? What's the favorite gift you've ever received?
Okay, well, I'm going to go back to childhood also.
Okay.
So as far as given, my dad did a train set. And I want to talk about that a little bit later in the podcast. So that has to be mentioned now as a little precursor for that and the story on that. But more modern, you know, I'm a photographer and I dropped my 70 to 200 lens and it is my lifeblood. I mean, I use it every single day for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just complete tore apart. And they're really expensive. They're almost $3,000. And I was just like, I won't do this. And Greg got me one as a surprise and it showed up and I just bawled my eyes out. It was actually like two Christmases ago and just bawled my eyes out. So it was, that was super meaningful for me.
I was going to ask if that was the same camera that was in the parking lot incident, but I don't think it is.
There's been so many accidents. I don't even want to, so much trauma.
But what about what you've given?
Oh gosh.
What do you think is the favorite gift you've given?
I love time gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And so a few years ago, we started taking my parents on a trip, me and my brother. And so that's kind of turned into my favorite gift That's kind of an ongoing gift if we're looking at the subscription plan there. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, through the years, given, you know, y'all gifts, there's been some, you know, some really special moments with all three of you of given things. So, you know, I won't pick probably there'll be three of them. So I'll just leave it at that. There's some
well, special mentions for me because I have two more that I want to mention. One is there's this Mexican restaurant that we've talked about on the podcast here in Nashville on Gallatin
Pike. Don Julio.
Not Don Julio. It is Las Maracas.
Oh, okay.
And they have this letterboard sign out in the street. And we've talked about this before. So if you've listened.
On the home decor episode, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. But they have this sign outside that for, I guess, over 5 years now has said, with many of the letters missing, now serving chicken soup. Mm-hmm. And it's just, every time I drove past it, it was just why would a Mexican restaurant be advertising chicken soup year round for 5 years and never change their sign? And so it just kind of became a running joke. And so you took a picture of it and you stylized it and framed it and gave it to me, and it hangs in my house now.
Love it.
And
too.
Then another gift that is really, really meaningful to me, and I start to use it this time of year, is a quilt that I got.
Oh, yeah.
And it was part of the adoption process. Mm-hmm. You know, y'all presented me with a quilt and with this letter that Dad wrote, and it's framed, and the quilt's not framed. The letter's framed, and it's in my house as well. But I love that quilt, and it means so much to me. And we've actually all kind of, over the years, begun to bond more over quilts than I think we expected we would, because we've got, you know, there are gifts involving quilts this year that are planned, involving experiences this year. Dad, don't listen to this next sentence. I'm taking him to the National Quilt Museum in Paducah, Kentucky, because, you know, he likes quilts. I like quilts. Well,
he listened to yesterday's episode.
Well, this will come out the 2 days before Christmas, so.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas, Dad.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, that quilt, there's a double gift, the one that you were talking about earlier, because when we were searching for the perfect gift for you, I was like, it's got to be a quilt because you don't have one. To me, quilts are heirlooms. And what but you saw my, during this, we'll do an episode on quilts. And we'll we're going to Quilt Con this year in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Yep.
We bought our tickets last week for that. So the whole, well, the three of us are going. The little ones are staying home. It's during school hours. So in February, we'll do an episode about Quilt Con when we get back.
So exciting.
So the one on quilts, we'll go ahead and tease that now for 2026. But what was so special about that gift is the best quilts are in Berlin, Ohio, which is Amish country. Mm-hmm. And quilts aren't cheap. You know, we can go to Pottery Barn, we can go to TJ Maxx and we can get a quilt for, you know, $80-$120. But to truly have a family heirloom, and we wanted you to have something that when you have kids and when you are older, you look back and say, that was my quilt. Mm-hmm. And we put a budget on it. I called up a realtor friend of mine in Ohio, Tiffany. Hi, Tiffany. I love you. And
Tiffany said, Grant?
No, Tiffany Meyer.
Tiffany Meyer. Okay.
I've
met Tiffany.
And,
yeah.
And she, and any great realtor knows what people want.
Yeah.
You know, like when someone tells me what they want for a house, usually I'll find it in the first two homes that they see. And I told her exactly what I wanted. She went to the quilt shop, her favorite one up in Berlin, Ohio. And she went through everything. And then she FaceTimed me. She goes, this is the quilt. And didn't even give me other options. She goes, this is it. I said, that's absolutely perfect. She goes, well, now that you know it's perfect, I'm going to show you the second option. And so she got the second option. And she goes, but it's not as good as the first option. I said, you're absolutely right. What's it going to put me back? And she's like, well, that's the hard part.
Yeah.
And so I said, well, if you could get that, you know, give it, ship it down to me. I will pay that shipping and everything. And she paid for the shipping and everything as a gift to you. And spent so much time finding it because, you know, for her to get to Berlin from her house is an hour.
Yeah.
But just that love. So there were so many layers of that gift. And that's what I love about gifts. And I guess that's what's changed me from my childhood through an adult.
Yeah.
You know, because we had this talk on our way to Alabama for Thanksgiving about that change.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's something about whenever you get older, giving gifts. I think our conversation was really about, we were talking about traditions and family traditions and doing things.
Why
do we do things? Is it because we want to feel good about doing it? We want others to think we're good for doing it? Or is it about the person who's receiving the gift? And as you get older, that changes. Your perspective changes. You know, it becomes less about Obviously, you want there to be excitement when you give a gift. You want people to have some kind of reaction when you give a gift. But as you get older, it's less about, is it this latest, greatest, coolest new toy? Is it this top of the line, this or that? Or is it, this is something that I know you need because I know you and I know your life and I know that this is not something maybe that you would go out and buy for yourself. Or even if this is something that you would go out and buy for yourself, you probably wouldn't spend this much money on it.
Yeah.
So like back to the La Crusade set that y'all got me, at that point in my life, I was all about cooking. I loved to cook. Yeah. I've kind of stopped cooking as much and I will get back into it, I'm sure, one day. But I didn't have any nice pots or pans at all.
I was like
Goodwill stuff was what I had.
Yeah.
Because you know, at that point in my life, I had just come out of some tough times and money was super tight and I had Target sets. And so when I got that gift from y'all, it was like, wow, this is incredibly meaningful and special to me because this
You're
is
beautiful.
Like, yeah, this is something that I would never buy for myself because, number one, it's expensive. And number two, I didn't even know where to begin to look for what is high-quality cookware and potware. So,
yeah, potware. I like that word.
Potware.
Well, you know, and we're talking about, you know, the differences now. And you were talking about, you know, why we do things. And for me, I have two things that, I said the other day, and you were kind of like, I don't like gift cards for Christmas, Visa gift cards.
Yeah.
Because if someone's giving me a gift, if you send me a Visa gift card, I'll still take it gladly. First, let me say that.
We'll receive those.
We'll receive it gladly. When I give gifts, I want people to know that I know them and it was procured for them.
Uh-huh.
Now, if you get me, like this is Fabletics, what we're wearing today. Mm-hmm. If you get me a $250 gift card for Fabletics, good job. You know exactly what I like and what I want. But if you show up with a gift card for me to something I will never use, you know,
like a Fandango gift card.
Yeah, bad form. The other thing for me is wrapping gifts because for me, that's a form of love. And that's not later in the outline, is it?
I don't think so. After I wrote up this script this is the place I was going to put it.
You gave me a look like, wait, I thought you didn't add that this morning.
No.
Because wrapping gifts for me used to be, and I will say used to be, a big deal because I still wrap every gift. You will not get anything in a bag from me. Back to the Thanksgiving and plates episode, the paper plates. Gift bags to me are lazy. I'm going to be so hated for this episode. But, you know, again, if there's a big bulky item, I get it.
Yeah.
But wrapping the gift is an extra layer of I'm showing you the love that I cared enough to do it.
Uh-huh.
But it used to be, until y'all all started complaining, I would wrap gifts meticulously because a friend of mine used to work at Lazarus, which is a department store in Kentucky, and she taught me how to professionally wrap gifts.
Mm-hmm.
So that meant only one type of paper. It had to be super thick. It was almost wallpaper thick.
Yeah.
That meant a paper scorer.
Mm-hmm.
I literally would score the paper with this little plastic device. That meant a lot of two-faced tape. I would go through probably 20 rolls of two-faced tapes, and I had it on the big the rolls that you professionally pull off, all those things. I had a pair of scissors that no one could use except for cutting paper only. If I saw somebody with them, they got in big trouble. And then I would spend probably on each gift after I got the actual paper on. The paper took probably 20 minutes just to get on.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would create the bow, and I would add ornaments from it and all these. So people would get the gift. They're like, I can't open this because it's too pretty. Then when they decided to open it, it was too hard for them to open. So, you know, because literally everything was two-faced taped up, it would take you probably 5 to 7 minutes to unwrap the gift, and then you felt bad about unwrapping it.
Uh-huh.
And everybody just kind of made a joke out of it. Y'all appreciated it.
Yeah.
But it was one of those things where it's like, okay, I've got to, especially with the little ones, because I did it for the little bitty ones when they were like 3 and 4 years old and they couldn't open the gifts. And so I've learned how to wrap more loosely and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I want to give out a shout out for my realtor friends listening. There's a lady named Pat Beach who was president of Tennessee Realtors 2 years before me, and she shares my gift wrapping meticulousness. So for me, the way it's changed for me is how do we present the gift?
Mm-hmm.
How do we pick the gift? And finally, How do we be a joyful receiver?
Yeah.
Because I think that's one of the best things you can do as an adult. As a child, when I'm giving kids gifts to Micah and Esther, I want that reaction. That's about me. That's awful. That's so... It shouldn't be about if you don't get the reaction you want, but that's part of being a parent. But I've learned as I receive a gift, if you give me a gift, I'm going to receive it so joyfully, even a Visa gift card. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be doing backflips. And if you offer to pay for a meal when we're together, you're not going to see me say, oh, no, let me get it. I'm going to say, thank you. And I think as adults, we've got to learn that art. Yeah. There's something about being a joyful giver, but you've also got to be a joyful receiver. And that's something I think I have mastered over the past few years.
Well, that'll preach. Join us next Sunday for. First of all, I want to say you are a damn fine gift wrapper.
Oh, thank you.
You do such a wonderful job of it. Even he's so good at this, y'all. He is so good at wrapping gifts that I will give him gifts for him in an Amazon box and ask him to wrap his own gifts.
This is your present. Please wrap
it. Because. Yeah. I have attempted to wrap gifts in the past, and it's just a mess. It's just such a mess. And you would think that I would be good at it because spatial things like Legos, I'm really good at reading instructions and building sets and all that kind of stuff. But when it comes to wrapping paper, for me, it's the corners. I can get it covered and get the right size, but getting the corners nice and smooth, I can't do that.
Well, it used to match the tree. I would do the gifts where it matched the tree. I had a copper tree, and so I do copper gifts. And then the tags, I would make the tags, and I get special rattan rope. I would calligraphy the names, all that stuff. So for me, it is a big deal. But, you know, don't get to
and
do
that. And I also just want to mention that you called it two-faced tape and not double-sided tape.
It's two-faced because that thing is hateful.
I've only ever heard it called double-sided tape. And you just said two-faced and it blew my mind.
Two-faced tape.
Yeah.
Besides. But, yeah.
So, you know, the difference between childhood excitement and adult expectations, we've talked a little bit about that. You know, we're going to talk traditions now, because there's some that we keep, there's some that we reinvent. We love talking about traditions, you and I, on our own when we're traveling. You just mentioned we talked about it on the way to Alabama for Thanksgiving. There's some traditions that we leave behind as we get older as well. Mm-hmm. So they can be the heart of the holidays, but our traditions don't exactly come from the same history. So I would love for you to talk about some of the Copeland family traditions with me and where those come from and what you have. So,
well, I think the biggest one, and we can both say it on the count of three that we go to Mimi's house for, is get you a bag.
Yeah.
That is probably the biggest tradition that's lasted in our family for years. And it started, Mom got out a bingo set probably when I was in my teens and my cousins would be there and she goes, let's play bingo. And she would have all these really cheap, trashy gifts. She'd go to Dollar General. She'd go to Dollar Tree. And she would get just probably 100 plus, you know, soap and, you know, just stocking stuffer things. And so it got so much that people would start getting, you know, after you bingoed, you didn't clear your card off. So you get bingo every, you know, 30 seconds. There'd be something. You go get your gift. And so it got so bad that people were having all these gifts and they just have them in their hands. And so Mom would say, well, go in there and get you a bag. And so everybody get themselves like a Kroger bag, one of those plastic bags. And she goes, get you a bag. And it turned into a joke where, you know, the second year we did it, it's like, well, get you a bag, Anthony. Mm-hmm. You got your, you know, you got bingo. And so the first person to get bingo, everybody screams, get you a bag. And for those of you who don't speak Southern, that is get you a bag is what we're saying there.
Get you a bag.
So get you a bag still happens.
It does.
It's now moved to a Saturday before Christmas. We've had people come in who are not blood related to us. Mm-hmm. They just want to experience it because it's
boyfriends
just
and girlfriends and partners and roommates.
I mean, Emily and Michael wanted to start coming, you know. Our nanny and her husband and child. So, you know, so get you a bag is the standing tradition. You know, and we were talking on our way to Alabama for Thanksgiving about how things change and how, you know, when families start to grow. And I remember being with my cousins growing up, that was a huge tradition. Mm-hmm. And back to that piece of my aunt wanting to wash the paper plates, you know, we'd all get together. And if you couldn't make it on Christmas Eve, it was a bad thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had to be there. So, you know, those traditions and how those change. So, I look at get your bag with our family. I'll let you talk a little bit about our traditions in our family. I'll hold that for you.
So we all typically spend on Christmas. We're in the process of trying to plan it right now, what we're going to do as far as Dad's family and how we're going to do that. But we always go down and see Mama Bullard for Christmas and spend time with her during that week. And then Christmas Day, especially because Micah and Esther are young, you know, I think it was even more important 5-10 years ago when they were just little bitty babies. But we come over and I come over at night on Christmas Eve, and we all just spend time together and hang out and watch a Christmas movie. We go out to eat somewhere super nice. Jimmy Kelly's.
Yeah.
We love Jimmy Kelly's. There's another one we went to at some point. I forgot what it was called.
Oak. That was the one bite lobster.
That's right.
The one bite $138 lobster.
So y'all, I got to tell this story really quickly. So we go to Oak, which is at the bottom of the Westin Hotel in downtown Nashville. And of course, this was like 2, maybe 3 years ago.
3 years ago, yeah.
You know, the anything you want on the menu, you can get it. It's Christmas. We're splurging. So we all order our food, and Micah orders a lobster tail, just a lobster tail, nothing else. And the lobster tail comes out, and it is a normal-sized lobster tail. I mean, it's probably 4 to 5 inches long and 2 inches thick. And we all get our food presented to us on the plates, and we're having, you know, we're looking over our meals, and we're trying to figure out where we want to start first. And then we look over at Micah's plate, and it's empty. And we're like, Micah, what happened? Y'all, he took this lobster tail, this $130, $140 lobster tail, yeah, in one bite, and the whole thing was gone.
Yeah.
And we had all just barely started even smelling our food. And so he sat there.
I looked at him and I was like, that's the most expensive bite you've ever taken in your life.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we're landlocked. I mean, for those of you listening in Boston and those areas, you're like, why is lobster so expensive? Well, it's a relatively nice restaurant. Plus, being landlocked, and so
their shipping cost and all that kind of stuff.
So anyway, we have a nice dinner. You were talking about Christmas.
Yeah, so
Eve.
We have a nice dinner. We usually go home and watch some kind of Christmas movie. Sometimes there's sweet treats. Sometimes there's sausage balls, hot cocoa. What's that Ryan Reynolds movie that you've got the jacket?
Spirited.
Spirited. Yeah, we watched that as soon as that started. As the year that aired, we started watching that. It's a great movie if you've not seen it. And then I usually go home on Christmas night because I live so close, and I have to sleep in my bed. It's a comfort thing for me. But then I'll wake up and I'll drive over to their house, and we'll all sit down and just exchange gifts and present
brunch.
Gifts and have brunch and more sausage balls, which we love, and
pancakes
and bacon and scrambled eggs.
Those brown eggs you won't make again.
Yeah, we'll never make those again. That's kind of what our family tradition is. And then we usually Mimi and Papaw swing through at some point, and Sheridan and Arden swing through at some point. And
well, they're usually, Sheridan and Arden are always abroad. They usually go somewhere for Christmas. So they usually even go international. And then my entire side of the family comes over that night, and we have a Christmas dinner, on fine china.
Yep.
I make sure everyone has their own place sitting. I make sure everyone has their own, bread plate, their own. I went and made sure I bought nice flatware for everyone. Everyone has a cloth napkin. Everyone has a seat card. You know, so it's a nice meal. We don't buffet style it. We put it on the table, and it's like the Norman Rockwell photos you see. That's the Christmas dinner we have. A lot of conversation. Then after, you and Papaw and Micah just
play music.
Play music.
Yeah. We play music because y'all have that piano that I convinced you not to get rid of, and Micah will get out a cajon? Is that what it's called?
The box drum. Yeah,
and the box drum, and I'm sure he'll have something different this year to play, and we're all excited about that. And Papaw brings his guitar over, and we just play Christmas songs and sing Christmas carols and have a really fun time. Something else we talked about on our trip to Alabama for Thanksgiving, and I would love for us to talk about it now, is what we would think of an ideal Christmas tradition in the future looking like? And, you know, I think what prompted this question was us talking about traditions on that drive, and you saying, well, what would a great Christmas tradition look like to you, Zach?
And as a disclaimer on that, it was, I said, it's got to be only about you. And mm-hmm. I asked Micah the same question. Mm-hmm. It had nothing to do with what do you think Daddy wants? What do you think Poppy wants? What do you think Micah wants? What would you do?
Yeah. And so I answered that question in one. I had two answers. My first was that we all took a trip to Hawaii and just had a Christmas in Hawaii. And mm-hmm. Because I've had experienced Christmases in Hawaii from that my time working there. And it's really cool because there's zero snow, obviously, and it's warm. And you see like the Santas that you see in commercials where he's on the beach and he's got on swim trunks and nothing else. It's very that. I mean, there's just these big old beefy Hawaiian men that are out laid out on the beach with a Santa hat on and their Christmas trunks on and surfing. And so that's pretty cool. But then the other thing that I said was, I would love if we could go to New York City and experience a New York City Christmas and go to the Rockefeller Center and see the Rockefeller Christmas tree and go see the Rockettes and watch their show, spend a day just walking around the street that's got all the window shopping experiences.
Christmas markets,
and, yeah. Christmas markets. And what is
well, your favorite part of yours, though, that you mentioned, was us having the night cathedral orchestra and choir. That was one of my favorite things you said of that whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, you and I agreed a lot on our if we were to go to New York. We had a very similar timeline on that. For me, a perfect Christmas, I've kind of crafted that as far as I don't want to leave the house. I want to be up in the morning. We were in hotels when the kids were little, but now, you know, we're home. And, you know, so I kind of like what we've got now. And I like just the way it flows.
Yeah.
So there's not a lot I would change. If I were to do a traveling Christmas every year, I'd spend it at Disney or Universal for one of the years. And then another year I've spent Christmas in Paris, which is unbelievable. And, you know, Christmas at Notre Dame. But my number one would be Christmas in Germany. Yeah. I would want to go to that. So
little Christmas villages there.
Yes.
You could maybe meet Santa Claus, the real one.
Wouldn't that be great? I went to the North
he's
Pole.
He's German, isn't he?
Fairbanks, Alaska.
Oh, nice.
Maybe.
Nice.
So, you know, we building new traditions can be, you know, very healing for all of us. I think we've all had things in our past that weren't great Christmases, but creating new traditions always makes it very healing. And when we come back from this break, we're going to head to the dessert table. That's a little tongue twister.
It is.
We're going to head to the dessert table. We'll be right back. Well, let's talk a little about Christmas treats because I've been calorie counting, but around this time of the year, calories don't count.
They don't. Everything is sugar-free, carb-free, calorie-free. Mm-hmm. Everything is the diet version, even if it's not. So,
and we talked a little bit about this at Thanksgiving, but let's delve into it in the Christmas world. So what is your favorite holiday dish or dessert?
I'm a big ham person. I love ham. Mm-hmm. Turkey, not so much. I mean, I do like turkey, but I just
love... Chef's Market turkey.
Yeah, Chef's Market turkey.
You will tear up somebody. You will road rage on somebody.
I will. And we went the other day, and they were out. And we sat and waited.
Okay,
and
then stop. You look like a beat little puppy dog. We got there because I'm like, they have turkey every day now. Because it's Wednesdays usually.
Yeah.
And so we get up there. It's 5:00 on a Saturday. Everybody we know is there.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to the front of the line and there's no turkey. And you look like you were abandoned puppy dog. And so I said, let's get pot roast instead. They said it's going to be a 20-minute wait. And again, we love Chef's Market. This is the first time this has ever happened to us.
Uh-huh.
And so we set a timer. 8 minutes.
It was 22 minutes, exactly.
So we set a timer. And so when I went up at 16, because I'm impatient to check, they had just put out more turkey and dressing after telling us it was gone.
For the day.
And I mean, you jumped over that table and got up there. I mean, that poor little woman you knocked down, we got the insurance claim on.
Yeah.
That turkey, besides Chef's Market, you're a turkey guy. You like
and that old lady's fine. She's recovering well.
Yes.
Great. So shout out to her. You know, I love sausage balls.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of backstory about how I grew up. My mother was a very, very good sweets maker. And I don't mean like cakes and pies, while she did do that well. She made individual candies in bulk every year, and like hundreds of them per type of candy. When I was growing up in elementary school and middle school, every year for Christmas, she would make me and my little brother, Alec, a gingerbread house made completely out of chocolate to take to our teachers, our homeroom teachers. And she had these elaborate molds that she would get white and red and green and blue and yellow chocolate and draw all the details out in them. And then she would fill it up with milk chocolate and freeze them, and then pull each of the wall sections and the window sections and the roof sections and the chimney sections out of the molds, and then melt chocolate and use that chocolate as glue to assemble a completely chocolate gingerbread house. And it was full of color and life. And she would make all kinds of candies, caramel-filled candies and maraschino cherry-filled candies. But the one thing that she made every year that I loved, and even still to this day, I can't get the recipe right, was Oreo balls. And Oreo balls is when you take a box of Oreos, a package of Oreos, and like pounds of cream cheese, and you mix it all together, and you combine it, and you roll it up into balls, and you dip it into melting chocolate, and then freeze them, and then you've got these Oreo balls, and they're so good. Oh my God, y'all, they're so good. Yeah. So I will continue to try making those every year until I get the recipe right. But sausage balls, Oreo balls, I do love the Christmas breakfast that we have as well. And I do like eggnog. I know that's a thing a lot of people don't like, but I love eggnog. So what about you?
Well, I'm a sweets guy. I mean, that's my Achilles heel. I love sweets. And your dad is possibly one of the best sweets maker in the world, because sugar to him is like oxygen. It's just like sugar, butter everywhere. Mm-hmm. So he makes an amazing like hummingbird cake. He just kills it with the pecans and bananas and all that good stuff. Makes a really good peanut butter cake. Mm-hmm. That's always a favorite.
It's thick.
It's so thick.
It's so rich and so thick. Good.
So good. But when I go back in time, what signaled it for me was my Aunt Carrie Jane would always make the no-bake chocolate oatmeal cookies. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you can go to Walmart and get them. You couldn't back then, but she was the only person in my life that could make them that good. They stayed shiny. Right now, when you make them, for some reason, I guess it's maybe the way the oats are made or whatever, they're kind of matte finish. She made them when they were shiny, and they would, you know, they'd spread out, you know, and then they would harden the way she made them. And, you know, it's peanut butter and sugar and oatmeal and all that stuff. And, you know, the way I would try to make her recipe, they would never harden. So that always signaled that smell, that peanut butter and oatmeal for me. Mom would do the same thing, but her candies weren't as extravagant. She would do like the Ritz crackers with peanut butter in the middle, and then dip them in white chocolate. Mm-hmm. And then she would make some peanut butter balls, those kind of things. So it was always the sweets. When it comes to the real food, William at church, he said, "What should we have for a Christmas dinner for church?" And I was like, you know, he said, I like a good beef tenderloin. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great Christmas tradition. Of course, ham can't go wrong. We talked about that on the Thanksgiving episode. But man, I absolutely love ham, and I love good sweets. So let's talk a little bit about preferences. Okay. So are you a peppermint person or a chocolate person?
Yes, and okay. Both. I love both. What about you?
Totally chocolate. Okay. I don't want them ever together. A York peppermint patty is a travesty.
I love it.
Those box of chocolates, which, no, thank you.
Thin Mints, you don't like Thin Mints, Girl Scout cookies?
No.
Love them?
No. So I'm always going to be chocolate.
Love them. Would you rather decorate cookies or build a gingerbread house?
Okay, the Lego person in you, I just cannot do those gingerbread houses. That's just too much work, too much stress. Give me a cookie decorating. I'm addicted to those Instagram videos of them cookie decorating.
Okay.
I know your feed's full of totally different things.
Yeah, it is.
But in my side of the geriatric universe of the internet, there's cookie decorating.
Okay.
And it's just them doing these fancy icings. Mm-hmm. And I'll sit for hours at night and doom scroll cookie decorating. And right now we're in the Christmas piece of it.
Yeah.
So I would totally cookie decorate and think I could do it that way, but I can't.
Yeah.
What about you?
Definitely gingerbread building houses for me. It's just so fun. And I think especially if you start to get where like paint brushes and paint on the gingerbread house with food coloring and food dyes and make it come to life, I think that's really, really cool and fun. And I know your answer to this one as well, eggnog or hot cocoa.
I love a hot cocoa bar. I want to have a full experience. I love, you know, having high quality cocoa. For me, the Christmas experience is about not cutting corners. And, you know, I'm going to have, I'll even have peppermint there and create a hot chocolate event for someone. And I put it on a plate and I want it rolling over, kind of like the banana pudding I made for y'all the other day. You have to eat it on a plate because it's running over. There's something about messiness of hot cocoa.
Yeah.
When Esther was in a grade where, and Micah both, where we could do that kind of thing, I would bring a card in to their school classes full of hot chocolate, and it'd just be a messy thing. And I would spend, you know, an hour cleaning it up after, but it was hot chocolate all the way. And is it eggnog for you?
You know, I like eggnog a lot. I like spiked eggnog a lot as well, and spiced eggnog. But I do love hot cocoa. But for me, if it is made with water, it is not hot cocoa. If you do not make your hot cocoa with milk, you're drinking chocolate. You're drinking a Yoo-hoo.
Yeah.
And I don't get people that use water. We have, you know, there's a coffee bar at church that we have, and the kids, Esther, usually goes in and drinks hot chocolate, and she always makes it with the coffee water.
In July.
And she's got a boiling hot cup of, you know, hot cocoa. I saw this this TikTok the other day about this restaurant who was showing how they made their hot cocoa, and they used like a metal Moscow Mule kind of mug.
Oh, nice.
And they piped marshmallow cream around the edge of the rim, and then got a torch and scorched it so that it had like that campfire s'mores kind of marshmallow flavor to it. And then they poured the hot chocolate in over it, and it started to melt the marshmallow cream down into the hot chocolate, and it just made this wonderful experience. So we may have to try that, because it's...
I think one of the secrets to a great hot chocolate is, again, you have to have the big, humongous plate. You put your humongous mug in the middle, and then you start with chocolate syrup, and you just douse it all over it first. And then you build from there. But the base for me is that we could do a whole episode on hot chocolate.
Yeah,
it's one of my...
Yeah.
We could do a hot chocolate banana pudding bar episode.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost like a Bloody Mary when you go to a restaurant, and they've got, like, burgers coming out of the Bloody Mary and tomato slices and all that kind of stuff. So so now let's talk about a part of Christmas that is very special to us as a family, us personally, and to our community, and that is Christmas at Covenant of the Cross. Yeah. So this is one of the most joyful and busiest times of year at our church. I think it's that way for all churches. You know, we've got a choir production that's happening. We have a children's production that's happening. This year I'll be doing an individual solo, which was your special request for me, and so I'm doing it for you. And you know, we've decorated the church, we've done all that kind of stuff. So talk a little bit about the being in the choir this year. I would love to hear what you think about that.
Yeah, we just had our Christmas concert just here recently, you know, because this is obviously airing a little bit later, so we just had it. So you know, we start practicing in... We started a little bit later this year, which was a good thing, because some years you start us like in June and July, and we've had really good retention this year because it's been a shorter time and everything. But we always do some kind of, you know, boxed Christmas musical kind of thing, and it's just sweet.
Yeah,
the people who are there, they want to be there. Mm-hmm. They want to share their talents with everyone. And just the process of learning it, and you love... I mean, when I remember asking you years ago, you know, one of your church goals, you're like, I want a choir. And the fact that we have, you know, a good choir, it's a smaller choir, but, you know, it's still a choir. Mm-hmm. And you just watching you direct it, it's one of the joys that I have. And you'll see me off, and I slip out, and I'll get some video of you, you know, directing it, because it just is very touching to me. So... choir musical, and then I used to produce the children's musical every year at church. So, you know, one year we did a thing called Smart Home for the Holiday, which was the kids teaching Alexa, because they asked Alexa to tell them about Christmas and the meaning of Christmas. And Alexa was like, I don't know. And so it was AI and how to train the AI about Christmas. So the kids teach Alexa about Christmas. So that was one of the ones I wrote that was a lot of fun. And then the next one I wrote was one called Christmas Better Work, which was a parody of RuPaul's Drag Race, yes, at a church. But it was about the angels auditioning for the birth of Christ and who was going to get it. And of course, there were catty angels who were, you know, trying to cut throat. And then, of course, there's the hero angel. And that hero angel teaches them the true meaning of the birth of Christ.
Yeah.
So,
and I did the theme music.
You did the theme music. It was interactive. We had videos. So the kids did like confessionals. We'll post it on our Instagram.
It was really, really well done. You did a great job with that.
We'll post the teaser for that so they can hear he's singing the theme song and everything. And we pull a lot of things from the show, little quotes. And the crowd was really big that day. Uh-huh. We played it for a Pride Spirituality event like in June following it. And the crowd went crazy when we played just our teaser because the crowd got all the references. So, you know, then, you know, this year, our children's minister, Maya, has taken over those productions she did last year. And so they did one called Five Golden Rings. And, you know, the kids just worked so hard on it. So Christmas at Covenant, there's more than just choir that happens there, though.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I want to talk a little bit about the choir as well,
sure,
because it's something I'm proud of. You know, I did tell you at one point when I was first getting involved in Covenant that I really wanted a choir. Because you know, part of when I started at Covenant was the pandemic, and there was just a shift, a radical shift in the way people attended church. And the church went from at one point having 200 plus people to it suddenly there was me and Greg.
Yeah.
And then building that back, reintroducing people to myself that I had never met before, learning what talents were there and what capabilities people had. So yeah, we used a Brent Wood Benson Christmas production. It is a prepackaged kind of prepared thing. It's 26, 27 minutes long. And in the past I have used the backing vocals along with the choir on the day of, on the live performance day of. And part of that has been because of, you know, there's people that enjoy it and that request it that are in the choir that say, hey, I need that to hear where I'm supposed to come in and what I'm supposed to sound like. And a little bit of it also was me not wanting to let go and to just let it be what it would be, and wanting it to be perfect. And this year, that's not the case. I'm not doing that. We had the Christmas production on December 21st, which is, I think, 2 days ago from when this airs. And I'm excited for what it's going to sound like this year. And, you know, the fact that we are doing it completely live. We've got two soloists this year. We had one soloist last year, but the soloists this year that we have are Katrina and Elliot, and they are new to the church. And
no one's ever heard them before.
Yeah, no one's ever heard them sing before, and I think it's important to, you know, promote new voices in the church. And we've got narrators as well this year, which we've not had in the past, Tim and Greg, so I'm excited for them to do what they're doing.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's one thing that I'm really excited about this year, seeing it all come together. And it just brings me great joy to be able to lead people in a subject area that I feel so confident in. I don't like teaching. It's not something that I like.
You're great at it.
I don't like teaching piano lessons. I don't like teaching people how to sing, but I'm okay at it, I think. And so it just brings me a lot of joy to do it. And I get emotional too.
Yeah.
On Christmas Day when we're doing the performances, like last year, it took everything within me not to be crying while I was up there conducting, because it's just a beautiful thing to hear all the voices come together and to see the joy of Christmas at Covenant. So,
and we always, you know, at church we have our Christmas party, and that's kind of everyone's social circle. You know, people have really found a culture and a tribe there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we, you know, have our Christmas party, and then the kids have a lock-in after they did their dress rehearsal this year. After the church Christmas party for their children's program, and then they spend the night, and then I have to stay because there has to be a male there also, because we have a female and there has to be both. So I go into the sound booth and I take a sleeping bag and I sleep, but I'm there just in case they need me. So the kids, they play all night and stay up all night. And then, you know, it's just, Christmas is just fun there. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just a lot of care. We can't miss William. He just does so much stuff just to make sure it's really special for everyone.
He does.
And of course, for many people, Christmas has, you know, a deeper meaning too. So let's take another break here, and then we'll talk a little bit about that deeper meaning when we come back.
All right, so like Brian said, we're going to take a moment to reflect on the heart of Christmas. This is, you know, not everyone's belief system, and that's okay if you're listening, but it is our belief system, and we just want to talk about it for a moment and and share really what makes Christmas Christmas for us. So talk to me a little bit about that and how you think about Christmas this time of year from the context of your spirituality.
Well, completely honest, I haven't had the thought that it should have been through the years. Christmas had become a very commercialized thing to me.
Yeah.
And I have had to take a hard pause over the past few years because I've gotten so caught up in, and this was again our talk that we had, I've got so caught up in what I was taught Christmas was. I was raised in the consumerism of the 80s when there was always one hot toy. And, you know, if you didn't get that Cabbage Patch doll at Kmart, then you had to go find it somewhere. And it was $12 at Kmart, but you'd have to pay $100 for it then. And it became more about who can outdo someone? Who's going to bring this greatest gift? Who's going to bring we're going to bring people over we never see and some toxic people that are going to be around and we're going to have to spend time with them. That's just the way that I've always had Christmas framed. And so a few years ago, I took a step back and said, what is Christmas? Why do we do this? Of course, there's, you know, in our faith, we're celebrating the birth of Christ. Mm-hmm. That's in our faith set. Part of Christmas joy is understanding that not everybody does it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And realizing there's a lot of holidays that happen around here.
Yeah.
So for me, the meaning of this entire season is I think about my friends who celebrate Kwanzaa. I think about my friends who celebrate Hanukkah. I think of my friends who celebrate Festivus, you know, and they're coming together to show love to each other. And while our love comes from a place of a child being born in Bethlehem, it still is, it's also relatable to any other faith there because it's about where you're bringing your love from. And Christmas is a jump start to the love that you are required to give for the next 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas is not December the 25th. December 25th is a day that people have set aside to just be good and be together. And that is a crock to me.
Mm-hmm.
December 25th is your training season for the rest of the year. It should springboard you that on February the 28th that you are volunteering somewhere in a food bank and making sure people are fed. That when May the 20th rolls around, that you make sure that animal welfare is met and that your animals that you have are loved and cared for. And that in August that your food pantry is full of things. That's what Christmas is to me. Christmas is all year long, and it's all inspired because of the gift that was given to us through our faith.
Yeah. You know, if I had to summarize Christmas in one word and what I think the Christmas spirit is all about, for me, that word would be sacrifice. And I think that's because in our faith tradition, you know, the story is that the Godhead decided to become human and sacrificed the power and authority of being the supreme divine creator of the universe to put himself in our shoes and to experience life as a human. And the sacrifice of I'm going to give up being omniscient and omnipresent and omnipowerful to experience what these creatures, these beings experience, I think is often overlooked. And I think if we reflect on Christmas as a time of sacrifice, as a time of less of what we want and what we're comfortable with, and more of what can build a better community and a better tomorrow and can give other people life and hope, I think that's really what the true meaning of Christmas is for me. And while, you know, there's all the Christmas hymns about Hark the Herald Angels Sing and O Little Town of Bethlehem and, you know, the 12 Days of Christmas, which I recently discovered is allegedly about the Bible, and it's got different meanings for people. I think there is something special about focusing on sacrifice during this season and giving up your time, your money, your effort to give others hope and happiness and joy and to show them that they have value and that they're of worth. So that's kind of what Christmas means to me. it does hold different significance for everyone. You know, whether you celebrate the Christmas holiday or the Christmas season or any of the other multitude of gatherings and events that there are during this time of year, what's important is that you don't do it alone and that you do it with people who don't even have to believe in the same way that you believe, but people who believe in you and care about you. Because it is a hard time for some people this time of year. You know, people experience loss, especially people who are estranged from their families. It's a tough time because there's a little bit of loss and a little bit of, you know, FOMO, fear of missing out on, they're all there celebrating and I'm not there. So I do also want to acknowledge to people that are out there experiencing depression or sadness or grief during this time of year that we care about you and we see you and we hear you. And we pray and we hope and wish that this season is easier for you than maybe it has been in the past, and that you just feel the love from the universe, God, humanity, whatever you want to feel the love from.
So, yeah. I think ultimately you've got to find your joy in wherever you find it. And if that joy is found through being with people, great. If that joy is being alone, I have friends who are in the medical field and they want to work on the day because they find joy in helping people with their medical issues. Mm-hmm. So wherever that joy is you find, take some time to think about that over these next few days as we're in this very special time. Stop and say, where's the joy and how do I harness that? And how do I keep it going all year long?
Yeah. Well, all right. Let's wrap up this episode and switch gears into something a little more fun. We're going to do a Christmas edition of Nashville Rathers, okay? So we're just going to go back and forth here on these.
Great.
Sounds good? Would you rather have gifts on Christmas Eve or gifts on Christmas morning?
I used to be all Christmas Eve. Used to be 100%. I wanted all the gifts then. And then you woke up and there was nothing on Christmas Day. So now I wait till the very last minute. Usually Greg and I don't exchange gifts until like 11 o'clock at night on Christmas night. Mm-hmm. So I'm 100% Christmas morning, Christmas Day. You?
I like Christmas Day. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's just fun. But you know, we also, as Micah, Esther, and I are so blessed to have you and Greg as our parents, Christmas is a year-round thing for us, honestly, because y'all just take such good care of all of us every year. So thank you for
Yay.
That. I appreciate that.
Speaking of
you.
Gifts and giving, matching Christmas pajamas or no way?
No way, Jose.
Will you do it?
I do it, not because I want to, but...
Because I hand you a pair and say, put these on yes, and shut up.
Exactly, exactly. And obviously, we know you would prefer Christmas matching
totally.
Pajamas year round if you could have it.
Well, we were going to play a mean joke on you. I bought you a Christmas sweater and you hate Christmas sweaters and you don't like people to buy you clothes at all. But I've learned there's certain things that you will do. And I came across this amazing Ralph Lauren Christmas sweater, mm-hmm. but it was black below with snowflakes across it. I'm like, he will wear that. But I went and got me and Dad and Micah one too. And so we were going to show up. And I was going to ask you when you were going to wear it, and we were all going to wear it the same day with you. And Greg was like, please don't do that to him. He will be so mad. So we still have one. We won't wear it together, but it's a great sweater. And that may be your matching pajamas this year. So.
Maybe, maybe. Would you rather have a real tree or a fake tree?
Give me fake.
Okay.
I don't want to deal with that real crap.
Yeah.
I don't want that. You'd be like, that smell. This is why you have diffusers.
Yeah.
Grab you some pine saw and go clean your bathroom if you want pine tree
yeah,
smell.
Yeah.
So yeah, totally. Give me my fake tree.
Yeah, I like Mimi and Papaw's tree this year. It is about as artificial as you can get. Y'all, it's literally, you look at it on the floor and it looks like a Christmas wreath. And then you grab it in the middle and it pops up into a cone. And it's a Christmas tree that's got lights and everything
in
on
two
it.
2 seconds.
Already. So yeah, that's nice.
So classic carols or pop Christmas songs?
Oh gosh. It depends on who's singing it, to be honest.
No, you can only pick one.
Oh, I would say... I really like the Christmas music from the 30s and 40s and 50s more than anything, the big band era.
So that pop.
Yeah, so pop.
And me too. And pop.
Okay.
Yeah, and I like the new twists on it. Like I was listening to the Ariana Grande, Kelly Clarkson duet and
okay.
that kind of stuff. I love new takes on old classics, with the exception of Do Not Ever Play For Me, I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas. Stop sending me those dang hippopotamuses in the mail. I don't want them. I don't like the hippopotamus song, and everybody sends me hippopotamuses because they know I hate it. And the other one is Last Christmas
Yeah.
Or this Christmas, I gave you my heart, and the very next day you tore it away. Is that the name of it? It's got one line in it. It's awful.
Yeah.
So I love the pop songs and the ones remade, but don't do those for me.
Well, Mariah Carey does so well every year this time of year because of her All I Want for Christmas Is You song. And I think maybe 3 or 4 years ago, she started the day after Thanksgiving posting a clip of her singing "It's Time" with that song in the background. And it's, she makes so much money every year from that one song. So good for you, Mariah. We're proud of you.
Mm-hmm. Snowy Christmas or mild Tennessee weather Christmas?
Oh, you know, I have experienced two white Christmases in my life, and I prefer a Hawaiian Christmas as far as weather goes.
Well, that wasn't a choice.
Yeah, so that's true. Mild Tennessee will then
mild
will
Tennessee.
Win. Yeah,
yeah, and I love the idea of having white Christmas, but at the, you know, on the 26th, I'm on out.
Yeah,
I mean, get me over to the mall and let me get some stuff. I don't go to Dillard's clearance and enjoy all that. I don't want to be snowed in for it.
Yeah. Well, that's enough seasonal. Oh, there's one more. We've got wrapping paper or gift bags. I know what you want. Yeah, you've already clarified.
And you
that.
Ain't gonna do either one. You'll send it over to
me. Amazon box. That's what you're getting from me.
Yeah, totally.
Well, that's enough seasonal controversy for today. You know, as we've talked about, Christmas looks different for everybody, for every family. There are so many different things that you can think about and reflect on and have gratitude for during this time of year. So we just want to encourage everybody to do that.
You know, have a great Christmas this year. It's a very important time. Spend the time that you love, and most of all, again, as I said earlier, find it as a jump start for the rest of your year.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, we want to say thank you for spending your Christmas week with us. We appreciate it. And from us here at Nashville and Beyond, we just want to say Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Ho ho ho.
Mm-hmm. And we'll see you next time on Nashville and Beyond.
This podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It does not constitute legal, financial, or real estate advice. Listeners should always consult licensed professionals for guidance specific to their situation. Brian and Zach Copeland are licensed real estate agents with Compass 615-522-5100. Kevin Kitterson, MLS number 171733 with Lincoln Mortgage is the executive producer. Engineer Mike Reeves. Music Dusty Boots by Eco Leaks. Nashville and Beyond. Copyright 2025.